Hey, today's episode is bringing closure to my episodes where I interviewed Jim Spradley about growing up in South Georgia and all his experiences thereafter, as well as what began this was looking at the importance of primary sources in the classroom. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
All right. Now, so over the last series of episodes, and I hope you've really enjoyed listening to Jim Spradley. Isn't he amazing? I mean, it was so cool thinking that he started off growing up in South Georgia, in a very rural area of Georgia, Dooley County, Pinehurst, and eventually his world is going to lead him to be a owner of a baked goods shop, a bakery, and then he's eventually going to own a large candy company and a huge name brand candy. So, with that being said, let's just kind of talk about this for just a minute, because all of this, the real focus here was to listen to Jim and think about how you could use his thoughts and comments to help create engaging activities in your classrooms. So before we go any further, let's first talk about three reasons why primary sources are important in the classroom. So on the first thing we want to talk about here is you have firsthand knowledge. Secondly, paint pictures. And three, cause the listener to want to know more. So let's go in a little bit more detail. You know, if three reasons why primary sources are important in the classroom are firsthand knowledge, paint pictures, and cause the listener to want to know more, you know, and by the way, yes, I know, there's probably, you can name many, many more than that. But let's just stick to these three right now. Firsthand knowledge. I mean, that's what's so cool about using interviews in the classroom. And it doesn't have to be a history classroom. It can be any sorts of content area that you bring somebody in who's experienced what it is you're talking about, or you know, lived through it, whatever that part of it is. They're giving you their recollections. They're talking about their experiences, their thoughts while they were living it. That is cool, because then that brings us to the second reason why it's important, which is it allows you to paint pictures that books don't necessarily do, or movies or anything else, because you're listening to a person. They're sitting right in front of you. They're talking. They're explaining something, and they lived it. And so it starts painting pictures in your mind and in the kids' minds about just that important thing, you know, about what it is that they lived through, you know, about what they thought at the time, about what mattered to them, about what their dreams were and what their aspirations were. So we got that firsthand knowledge. We then have that painting pictures. Well, then think about it. What does it do? If you're right on target, if you're reaching out the way it should be reaching out, it's going to cause the listener to want to know more. That's what you're wanting, right? You know, as a teacher, that's what you're excited about in the classroom, is that a kid comes up to you and says, you know, this might be a little dorky sounding, but I'd like to learn a little bit more about this. Do you have something I should read, or something I should listen to, or some place I should go to get more information? Or they come up after your listener has spoken and they want to know how to get in contact with the speaker, or they stick around and they talk with the speaker. Yeah, that's what you're looking for. That light bulb's gone on. That thing has happened. Bing, bang, boom, bah. Where they're like, you know, this is cool and I really want to know more. And that's what you're, you know, really shooting for inside class. So just three reasons why primary sources are important in the classroom. Firsthand knowledge, there's nothing like it. Two, it helps you paint pictures. And three, it causes the listener to want to know more. So now, if those are three reasons why you want to use them in the classroom, here are three ways to use primary sources. One of the biggest ways is that hook. Yes, that way to get people to say, you know, that's the thing that you entice them, you suck them in, you make them go, hey, I want to know more about this. Don't you stop and go to the commercial now. You know, you watch those TV shows. You ever seen the show Chopped? They stop you right before they tell you whose plate isn't good enough. You know. How about the ongoing serial where they end it right as something big is happening to the hero, right? You know, this is, you use it as a hook to make kids go, ooh, I want to hear more. You know, think about some of those comments that Jim made, and you listen to what he said. Could you play just a little bit of it and then say, hey, kids, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. What do you think about that? Could you use that to suck them into the topic and say, hey, I do want to hear more what Jim has to say? So three ways to use primary sources. Number one, use it as a hook. Number two, as a stepping stone to better understanding. So you take the words, the thoughts, the comments, and you have some activity where they take these thoughts and they use it to get to a better, you know, a more in-depth look into that era or whatever it is, that aspect of that event that you're studying. So for example, do you remember when Jim was talking about the idea why they didn't know, he didn't understand why they called it a horse farm because they always had mules? How could you use that to help drive, you know, to seek better understanding of the time, huh? Yeah, so you get my point? Stepping stone to better understanding. You know, one of the things that was interesting is that when he is drafted into World War II, you know, he goes and he's standing in line, and one of the lines is shorter, and that's how he ends up in the Navy. I love that story, by the way. And so what does that help you understand about the times? You know, about the about their, you know, desire to put, you know, young men into the role of soldier, whichever branch that was. I mean, what could you say about the times in that he could just change lines and change how he was, what branch he was drafted into? So three ways to use primary sources. Number one, use as a hook. Number two, stepping stone to a better understanding. And then how about number three? It removes the bias of others. You know, in textbooks and in movies and anything that's been edited, editors have a bias. The writers have a bias, and you get all of that bias as they're making it into whatever it is they want to make it into. Well, when you're hearing direct from the source, then the only bias you're getting is theirs. The only filtration you're getting is theirs. You know, that's important, because if you look at a textbook, if you look at a movie, if you look at a Hollywood movie, at a news source, the number of editors that sit down after a writer has submitted that article or that movie or that TV show or whatever, it's pretty amazing how many people have put their hands on it. Well, if you've got a primary source document, a primary source period, you know, the only bias that's coming through is theirs and then the way you hear them. So that in itself is cool. So three ways to use primary sources. One, uses hook. Two, uses a stepping stone to better understanding of the times or the event or the activity or whatever. And number three, it helps you remove bias. And so it gives you the opportunity to talk about why that's important, so that the only bias that you hear is their interpretation of those events. So it allows you to create that conversation about how, you know, bias can easily be dropped in by so many different people if you're not aware it's there. So there's some pretty cool ways of using it. Uses a hook, stepping stone to better understanding, and use it to help the concept of understanding bias and the filtration of bias and so forth like that. So cool stuff. So right now we've focused on the three reasons why primary sources are important in the classroom. First-hand knowledge, paint pictures, cause the listener to want to know more. And then we focused on three ways to use primary sources. Use them as a hook, use them as a stepping stone to better understanding, and use them to understand the role that bias plays and why you might want to work to have it eliminated, which is go straight to the source and get them to tell you. So let's use all that to skip into this. And let's think about lessons from Jim. You've heard Jim Spradley talk over several episodes. And after each episode, I spent a little bit of time just saying, let's reflect back on what Jim said. Well, let's use the whole show and let's think about some of the lessons from Jim. First of all, I've got 10, and you could probably come up with a lot more, all right? But I just wanted to talk about this. You get a little inkling of a thought about what sharecropping was. Yeah, don't you? You hear him talk about it. You hear him talk about the renting of land and the working of the land, and then kind of like something like subleasing, where, you know, the people who worked and tilled the land would then also turn around and find other people to rent from them. But you learn a lot about it. You hear about the use of the mules and such. Where did he grow up, and where did he go? All right, so if my number one lesson from Jim is about sharecropping, my number two one is, where did he grow up and where did he go? He grew up in Pinehurst, Georgia, in Dooley County, south rural Georgia, and eventually he ends up in the Pacific Ocean, not too far from Japan. He ends up from there going to Princeton University and eventually having a lucrative business that begins in Atlanta. How about education? Did you hear Jim talk about how important education was to him? I did. It came through over and over and over again. He also talked about, so if number three is education, number four is, he also talked about the importance of reading to him. Remember him talking about listening to the Tales of Black Beauty? He couldn't wait to come back. And then down the road, he's going to read other books. And it's going to inspire him. I wonder if that had any impact on him as far as his adventures that he would have, wanting to have those adventures, wanting to pursue and learn more. All right, so far we talked about sharecropping. Where did he grow up and where did he go? We've talked about education. We talked about importance of reading. How about, did you spot his sense of humor in these stories? Do you remember him talking about the picture where he's not wearing any shoes? And he talked about how, you know, you're a big deal if you could get your shoes off first. I like that. How about the whole idea of going from one line to another just because the other one was shorter in the draft thing? There's a little bit of humor there too, right? I thought that was funny. You know, there's some the different spots in there that you're going to hear Jim's sense of humor come out. Do you remember him talking about his brother? You know, I asked him if they did anything for fun and stuff like that when they were growing up. And he talked about how his father had a place for them to use tools and work. And they went to build a cart. And the cart was intended to be pulled by a goat. I love it. And do you remember what his comment was? Yeah, it didn't work so well. I love that. How about his thoughts about World War II? He's on a supply ship. He's a storeman. And he's worried about, you know, will he come back? Will he survive this? Number seven, if you are going to make money, work for yourself. Do you remember him saying that? If you're going to make money, you need to work for yourself. That thought came to him well after the war. How about the thought about determination? Do you see that in, I mean, he doesn't say that word, but do you see that in everything that he does, beginning from his life on the farm all the way to his very successful business? Very determined. Nothing's going to stop him. Do you see where you could have a focus on that? I think so. How about he gets into this comment, after the war, he's able to hook back up with a friend and they're going to go into business together. And one of the things he realizes, he's going to need to borrow money. And then eventually he's able to pay back that money. There's a cool lesson from Jim. And then finally, how about business success? You know, it was so many times you hear people say, I can't be successful, I can't do this. Oh, it just requires luck. Look where Jim came from, and in the end, how successful he became. Very cool. Business success. He becomes a success. And this can go back right back to that number eight, which is that emphasis on determination. But it's pretty cool because he stays focused on what he wants to accomplish. And a big part of this, I think you would hear him say, is as a result of his focus on wanting to, you know, to get an education and to put it to good use. All right. So those are 10 of my thoughts about lessons from Jim. Sharecropping, learning a lot about that. You've heard that word. The kids have heard that word, but do they really understand it? Where did he grow up and where did he go? You know, think about that travel that he did. You know, that Dr. Seuss thing comes to mind. Oh, the places you shall go. Education, his emphasis on education. The understanding how important reading was to him. Did you spot his sense of humor? Did you see the impact of World War II, what he did there, what his thoughts were about it coming to an end? And what his thoughts were while he was in there participating in the war actions. If you are going to make money, work for yourself. Do you remember him saying that? What's that teach you about him? Remember, he said, if you are going to make money, you're going to have to work for yourself. How did he learn that lesson? What is it that made him learn that lesson? Determination, huge. If nothing else, you could create major lessons around Jim's determination. Even though he never uses that word, he becomes successful because he is determined to be. He talks about needing to borrow money and then eventually paying it back. And then finally, I talked about his business success. And you know he's successful when what happens? A big company buys him out and he's able to pay off who he borrowed money from. So there's some thoughts about, you know, lessons from Jim, and I'm sure you could come up with others, you know, don't you think? So I have a challenge to you now. You know, after today, I went through my three reasons why primary sources are important in the classroom. Number one, firsthand knowledge. Number two, paints pictures. Number three, causes the listener to want to know more. I then went into three ways to use primary sources. And remember, these are just three ways. One, use them as a hook. Two, use them as stepping stones to better understanding the times. Three, it helps you remove bias of others. Therefore, you could use it as a discussion about bias and how bias gets introduced that's not the bias of the person telling the story or the original people who lived through the events or whatever. And then finally, I said, let's think about lessons from Jim. And so I mentioned there, number one, I mentioned sharecropping. Number two, where did he grow up and where did he go? Number three, the importance of education in his life. Number four, the importance of reading and wanting to know and wanting to read more in his life. Number five, I just ask you if you spotted his sense of humor. I love it because it comes out multiple times throughout his talks. How about his thoughts around getting ready to go to war and then during the war and then once he leaves the war? Number seven, I said, I recalled him making this comment. If you're going to make money, work for yourself. Do you remember why he said that and what lesson he was learning that taught him that? How about then the role of determination in his life? Number nine, he needed to borrow money and eventually he's able to pay it back, which leads us to number 10, lesson from Jim. He talks about business success. Now, he doesn't use those terms, but you hear him being successful as he gets better and better at what he does and he starts achieving dreams. So what do you think? I have a challenge for you. In preparing for your lessons coming up, where could you insert primary sources? Where could you create an activity that would help be helped out by using primary sources? And not only do I want you to think about it, I want you to plan for it. So I want you to visit those plans that you've developed over the next couple of weeks. Find a place where you could insert primary sources, go out and find them, create an activity around them, and use them with the kids. And by the way, if you can use Jim's words, I think he'd love it if you did. And they're very powerful and really paint those pictures and really could help you get the kids to that level of better understanding. Well, thanks for listening. And start using those primary sources. Ta-ta. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.